The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Kevin Blackstone, Israel Gutierrez, and Woody Page. News of the day from the bubble. Zion Williamson leaving the bubble to attend to an urgent family matter. When he comes back, if he comes back, he'll have to quarantine again away from the team for 4 days if he's tested daily outside the bubble, or maybe even 10 days away from the team. That's when he comes back. That's how the NBA has set up its guidelines. Games start 14 days from today. Israel Gutierrez, around the horn to you. How does it all strike you?
I mean, it strikes me. It just reminds me of the delicate nature of the existence in the bubble. Not only does everything have to go right inside of it for your team, whether it be, you know, an ankle sprain or something like that, avoiding injuries, but outside of it as well. And, you know, thoughts and prayers to Zion and his family for the urgent family situation. But if this happens to, in this case, probably their most important player, it's going to potentially be a long-term issue. It could be a few days. It could be a couple of weeks. So the team that ends up, you know, holding that trophy at the end of this, if we get to the end of this, is going to be the team with sort of the cleanest resume and won't have situations like this. They are the first game, the Pelicans, and it's against the Utah Jazz on July 30th. If they don't have Zion back, having 3.5 games back of that eighth spot, every single game is that important to them, it's going to be a problem.
Kevin Blackstone, I'll bring you in here. Your view of the bubble has always been not optimistic, and that's fine. The news today on Zion having to leave.
Well, this is just more proof of how precarious a situation this is that the NBA and all leagues are trying to pull off when they're inside of these bubble situations. So you don't know how long Zion's going to be away. And as Izzy just alluded to, you know, they wanted to open up this bubble season with this guy as the marquee player. In that first game, just like, you know, we had hoped that he was going to come back last year from injury on the big Christmas opening day slate of NBA games, and he couldn't make that. So this is a real blow, but this is something we're going to probably just have to deal with for the next, 3 months. People will be in and out. We had one player accidentally leave the bubble to go get delivery food. You can be sure that this is going to happen again and again, and it's going to be as much a part of the story as the finish of the game.
Tony, two exceptional commentators buried the lead here. The reason why there are 8 additional teams in the bubble is because of Zion. I mean, the NBA, when they sat down and said, we want to get the Pelicans into this playoff situation. So that's the most important aspect of the story that
you're right about that, Woody, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He only played 19 games this year. He's the one who said recently, I'm back to square one. And he was talking about, I started over, basically. We've had the situation where his name is being held up in court because of something that happened before he went to college. And now we've got a situation where the Pelicans do lose their best player. And here's another aspect of the NBA. They didn't want the families to come with the players until later in the playoff situation. So as Israel pointed out, this could happen over and over again where someone outside the bubble has some problems and somebody's going to leave the bubble as a result of that.
You know, Woody, you brought it up. The 22 teams that are playing in this to get to the playoffs, where they, of course, have 16. Of those back 6 teams, the Nets, Washington, now New Orleans, Sacramento is another team that's had the bulk of positive tests or players having to opt out. I mean, you know, it's random. No one has control over who's testing positive or not. It's almost amazing that the teams that are having the most trouble right now, Houston aside, because of that Russell Westbrook positive test, that those are the teams that are really reeling right now. And in some cases, you know, having to work hard to even field the team. We'll move on. Let's talk NFL. News of the week, of course, was Dallas and Dak Prescott. And here's what Prescott said after it was all over yesterday. He's a Cowboy, and he couldn't be happier. whether he's talking about being the Dallas quarterback or whether he was on the range at that moment herding cattle, I'll let you decide. Years of negotiation, no long-term deal. Todd Archer wrote today, this is a sign they're headed towards a long-term divorce. Kevin Blackstone, you know Dallas and Jerry Jones better than anyone here. How do you read that from Archer, and how do you read Dak Prescott's response?
Okay. Well, first of all, let's go to Dak Prescott's response. He's got to be elated. He's making $31.4 million under the franchise tag, and he's got to be thinking, you know what? I could beat Kirk Cousins. I could get another tag from this team and then really cash out when I depart. So he's got to be elated about that. And as far as the Cowboys, they continue to say that this is their quarterback of the future, and there aren't that many out there on the shelf right now for them to just go out there and grab. So they're in a tight situation as well, and you got to think that they don't want to be on the other side of the Kirk Cousins situation, right, and pay another tag and wind up paying this guy an average of greater than he could make under
contract. You're really seeing the world from Kirk Cousins' glasses here. I don't know what to say about that. But the point here is,
absolutely,
Archer writes, this is a sign that they're headed towards a divorce. Do you believe that?
Not necessarily.
So you question the phrasing
in this particular game. Nope.
How about you, Woody Page?
Well, you came to the right guy to talk about divorces. I think it's quite possible that this would happen. Dak, Dak didn't really tell us the truth. He said, I couldn't be happier. Sure, he could be happier. He could have gotten the 4-year contract that he wanted. That seems to be a hang-up, is they want him to take a 5-year deal. He wants 4 years so he can still, at the point of being 31 years old, get an even bigger contract. He'd be a lot happier if they paid him the kind of money that someone else in the league got, Patrick Mahomes, and certainly he could be happier that he would be offered more guaranteed money than Goff was a year and a half ago. I mean, we've seen the price of playing in the NFL go up, so I don't think his brother came on social media and said, freedom. He seems happier about the fact that his brother might be able to get out of there. So I think it's possible that even if they franchise him twice, that he's going to look for greener pastures, because we forget about Carmen Sandiego. Where in the world is Jerry Jones? He hasn't talked about this subject at all. We don't even know where he is out there. And normally he'll talk about anything.
So we have an Archer reference and a Carmen Sandiego reference here. We're really knocking out our animated shows here. Go ahead, Israel Gutierrez.
My Magic 8-Ball says they are headed toward a divorce, the same way Drew Brees and the Chargers were when he played on a franchise tag, and the same way Kirk Cousins did with Washington. Look, and to me, this is more Dallas not being sold on Dak Prescott. They wanted to give him the 110 over 5 years. Well, Goff got 110 guaranteed over 4 years, so that's not really fair. And to me, if I'm the Cowboys, I look at, you know, whether it be a Jared Goff, whether it be a Kirk Cousins for a comparison, doesn't seem like players that are going to carry you to a Super Bowl. So Dak might have had a career season last year in terms of the numbers, but the team was 8-8. If this team goes 12-4 this year and Dak has another career year, Jerry Jones will find a way to make this work in all likelihood. As he says, when have I ever not made the deal? Dak's going to play. He's betting on himself again. If he plays really well, he'll probably still stay in Dallas. But if he's sort of a 9-7, 10-6 guy and Jerry still doesn't know 2 years from now, then he'll probably walk.
You're nodding along, Kevin Blackstone. I said again, you know Jerry Jones better than anybody. When has he hadn't made a deal? Well, are there times where that hasn't been true?
You know, he's going to run things. I mean, there are times, I guess, he hasn't made a deal. I mean, I remember when he had the linebacker. Now I can't remember his name.
Yeah.
Oh, I know, Ken Norton Jr. And he helped lead them to a Super Bowl win. And he came back that year for a new contract, and they said, we don't need you. So there have been times like that, but this is a quarterback, and there just aren't that many out there. And you look at the guy's resume, even though you don't want to look at the guy, you're adding CeeDee Lamb to the mix.
Tennessee doing what Dallas wouldn't, right? Signing their taggee long-term, and it was Derrick Henry that raised some eyebrows. Something else that raised some eyebrows, what Cleveland did with Myles Garrett, because we now know the specifics that he's guaranteed $100 million. That's the most ever for a defensive player. Woody Page, I want to start you on that. Is Myles Garrett worth it? The most ever for a defensive player guaranteed?
Well, it's the Browns' money. It's not mine. So if they want to spend it in that manner, I'm all for them. But I'm saying to you, I wouldn't have done it. If I were the general manager and the owner of the Browns, I wouldn't have done it. Based on what happened last year, he was suspended 6 games for throwing a helmet at a quarterback. He was a personal foul waiting to happen in games before that. He had some real troubles on the field, not off the field. And then there was the idea of what was actually said to him and what he said about that. And it was only in February where the NFL said he could come back and was eligible to play in the NFL. Why not hold off a bit? I would wait to see if indeed he was going to be a true actor on the field and stay out of trouble and not be suspended again. Because you know if there's another incident like that, they're going to suspend him even longer. So I wouldn't have done it. And maybe that's an unpopular opinion because I know they're trying to get the playoffs finally.
Israel Gutierrez, how about you?
I don't care as much about the behavior. I still would have paid him what I thought he was worth. I don't think that suspension really has much to do with him and his character long term. But I do think, you know, because these numbers get thrown around all the time, highest paid defensive player ever, you'll hear that probably every other year, we still assess the player at the time. And Myles Garrett, while is, you know, still could be great and is very, very, very good, I don't know if, is he Khalil Mack yet? You know, is he Aaron Donald? And I think that's the level you want to compare him with. And maybe give him time, he will get there. But I think the Cleveland Browns, a franchise so desperate for winning and so desperate for making people believe that they are making the right decisions and moving this thing in the right path, are going to make sure that a number one pick is going to look like a number one pick and he's going to get paid for it. So hopefully he lives up to it. But, you know, there's things you can question about it, sure.
Are you saying they pay him this type of contract to prove that picking him was the right choice? Is that what you're saying?
I think there's a percentage of that in there. Yes, let's hope and, you know, with crossed fingers that this really makes us look good, let's pay him because, yeah, we already made this choice.
KB, what do you think of that first from Israel?
Well, I think that's absolutely right. Look, they had the number one pick. The guy was fantastic. 10 sacks in 10 games before he got the boot. He's arguably the best player on that team, one of the most exciting players in the league. How many times have we talked about this? NFL teams don't really care about that other stuff. And this was an on-the-field issue. It wasn't an off-the-field issue, which most recently have been far more problematic for teams, and still they've overlooked those. So why are we surprised that the Cleveland Browns, desperate to be successful in this league, would give this guy this much
money? Woody seems to think at least put Cleveland in a better negotiation stance, right? I mean, maybe they didn't have to pay all that money. Reminded me of the Yankees deal with Gerrit Cole. They signed him to the greatest contract ever, and then there was that sign, I'm going to Yankee forever. You're like, wait a second, you should have told me that in advance. That would have dropped the money down a little bit. We've been hard taking a break, buy or sell in 2 minutes.
Swimsuit, check. Sunscreen, check. Phone charger, check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Janoris Jenkins, cornerback of New Orleans. Roll tape.
We understand that, you know, Tampa Bay, as you mentioned, got some new weapons, new quarterback. But, you know, like, it's paper. You got to produce on the field.
Woody Page, you're all about producing on the field, and you're all about that paper, too. So buy or sell that and buy or sell this New Orleans-Tampa rivalry.
I buy exactly what he's saying, that you haven't proven anything if you're the Bucs yet. I mean, this is a team that's been in disarray for years, and you bring in two players, and they are exceptional Hall of Fame players. But really, I was with Peyton Manning at the end of his career. Even though they went to the Super Bowl, his skills had diminished, and at 42, I think Brady's not going to be the same quarterback. And we don't know whether Gronk can actually come back and compete at the same level he did. So I agree with him.
KB, buy or sell Janoris Jenkins there.
Hey, I'm buying him. You all are not pulling me down that hole once again like you did last year with the Cleveland Browns. Oh, okay. All this talent they got. Oh, they're going to win the division. Oh, they're going to be a playoff team to be reckoned with. You know, it's a great burn, though, saying they got a new quarterback. But, yeah.
And oh, you think he should have mentioned Brady by name there by saying just the quarterback? He was burning him a little bit, a little shade. Israel, how about you?
Yeah. I mean, I'm spelling KB's disrespect for Tom Brady, comparing him to Baker Mayfield, apparently. Yeah, and I'm
– There you go. You see, you just –
It's not very good trash talk. Oh, you got to win. It's on paper. I'm also selling Janoris Jenkins helping out with any sort of rivalry talk. The guy was on the Saints for two games last year. I don't really know what that means.
That is a winning argument for Mr. Gutierrez. No more to be said. We'll move on. Buy or sell two. NASCAR All-Star Race. Chase Elliott the win. At least 20,000 in attendance, it looked like this. Capacity was 140,000, but one of the first events to have fans. Memphis and Birmingham of the USL played last night as well. Fans in attendance as well. They announced it as a sellout of the capacity they could have. They said 1650 of the 5,500 there. The way that it's set up and socially distanced, Kevin, do you see that maybe as a blueprint for other sports? Or are you saying, you can't really tell?
Well, I will say it's a blueprint for other sports when you get back to me in a couple of weeks, because the whole idea is to be able to get people in to watch these events sitting socially distanced and then not complain or not come up with a COVID positive test or a coronavirus positive test in a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. That is what will make it a blueprint. We can't tell that just from looking at these pictures.
It can
from the
be
other
a
night.
Blueprint. If every game is played in a 140,000 seat outdoor stadium, because that's probably the safest place where you can get a good number of people spread out and, you know, not have a roof over your heads. Not really an option for the NBA, maybe not the NHL either. So I don't, and even watching that made me a little nervous, felt like those people a little bit too close to each other. And it's really difficult for ushers or any sort of security to keep any sort of rule in that area, right? With the social distancing. So I just wonder if there's anything in place to really allow that to happen. Safely.
You're right about that, Israel. 140,000. I mean, that's the biggest. I mean, what's bigger than that, right? So this was maybe 12% capacity. The soccer game was 30% or so. Woody Page, you buy or sell it?
Well, I'm so proud of my state, Tennessee, that it was able to set some kind of record for most people to show up, but they didn't do it very well. If that's a blueprint, I don't want to be the architect, because with 140,000 seats, and I've been to the Bristol Motor Speedway, they could have spread everybody out around that. They could have been 10, 12 feet apart if they had done that right. No, I don't think this is what we want to see in Major League Baseball, which is going to have fans. I'd rather see cutouts than people stuck together that close.
Mm-hmm. Woody, you strike me as the type of individual who maybe at a dinner party would pass himself off as an architect from time to time. It's fine. I'm not making any judgment. You know, I've been a water sommelier at parties before. I just think I throw that out there. Sometimes it sticks, sometimes it misses. We'll move on. Buy or sell three, Vandalay Industries. No. Buy or sell three, Jonathan Kuminga, the number four prospect in high school, choosing the G League over college. He was between the G League and Texas Tech, where his brother plays, Auburn, Duke, and Kentucky. And he's the fifth in the top 100 to make the choice for the G League. Has that now got you thinking maybe we're seeing a trend here, Israel?
I mean, absolutely, and it's what was intended, at least for the NBA side, right? The one-and-done thing isn't a great look for them, but having the guys come in and not necessarily be in the NBA and you can sort of nurture them in that setting, I think it's absolutely great. I think it will be a continuing trend, and I think the G League has already surpassed most people's expectations for what it could have been as a league or could be.
Mm-hmm. Woody Page?
We've seen the future, and it is the G League. I think Israel's on to something, that I think G League will become a very popular league that will be on TV more. Five this year, maybe 20 next year, maybe in 3-4 years, 50 guys, because they're getting paid pretty good money. They're going to get better tutelages and coaching, and they don't have to go to school, really, because this is their school. And meanwhile, the NCAA, they don't know what's going to happen in regard to rules upcoming with the NCAA. Hey.
And Kevin Blackstone.
Yeah, if you can monetize your labor, you should do that as soon as you can. There's no one sitting on this television show right now who probably did not work at journalism in some aspect for pay while we were in college. And so it's absolutely ridiculous. We've said it a million times that college athletes can't do the same when they're pulling in all that revenue.
Can somebody do me a solid? Go back on DVR and see if Woody said NCAAA. Did he add an extra A there? Was it the Fonzarelli edition of the A?
Just means you add up.
Woody, you still got plenty of points. You're advancing. Israel's advancing, too. Time to raise a glass to glass of water here to Mr. Kevin Blackstone. A Woody bouquet of water here. This is delicious.
My water right
love
here.
This water. Oh.
High alkaline?
We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So Woody Page just did invent the NC AAA. When the bus breaks down on the way to the game, they fix your flat tire immediately. Thank you, Woody. Let's talk about this in Showdown. Or Canadian League. Yes, here's a point. Storage unit auction, $35,000 worth of Nick Anderson memorabilia. I got questions here. Who initially keeps a storage unit of Nick Anderson memorabilia? The answer was it belonged to Nick and his ex-wife. How much Nick Anderson memorabilia do you need to get to $35,000? And are you interested? Woody, first to you.
Well, I'd be interested in memorabilia, but if his ex-wife wouldn't even pay for the storage unit and his university wouldn't pay for it and the Orlando Magic had no interest in it and he didn't even care about it, so they should just put it out on eBay and see who will give him $500.
I don't even think that stuff is worth the rent of the storage unit. Most of that stuff, you like, you look at it one time and you just throw it away. Like, memorabilia isn't really that important. This chair I'm sitting on is from the 2006 Final Four that the Gators won. I'm probably going to throw it out in a month.
What type of savage are you? Why don't throw out chairs. Give it to somebody. Take a point away from Israel. Point Woody Page. We'll move on. Showdown 2, Damian Lillard's bubble room. Did you guys ever happen to see this? It's the presidential suite via the McCollum birthday surprise photo retweeted by the NBA. But look at the presidential suite sign now. It's gone. It seems like they don't want you knowing that. Also, something that's a recording studio in it. Alternate theory, that's just a mic any podcaster or a Zoomer has, but how should other players and other athletes and other sports feel about bubble rooms that like look like this?
This is the way it's supposed to be, Tony. They have these giant rooms. What are they supposed to do, leave them empty or just have Coach Popovich lay in all of them? No, the players have to stay there too.
Tony, this is very simple. If you read Animal Farm by George Orwell, all pigs is equal, except some pigs is more than equal. And that's well, exactly what we're seeing in the bubble.
Yeah, I think Animal Farm has really been in our mind throughout a lot of stuff going on. Woody Page, you earned this one today, 30 seconds of fame.
I'm so excited to talk about this. Tony went viral recently talking about the fact that during the show and afterward, I use Coke with peanuts in the bottle. Well, he found out that the history is really proud because truckers and miners and workers every day would want to do this so their hands were dirty and they didn't have to get dirty with the peanuts.
Right. I found that. You learn something new every day. Now everyone knows it. Goodbye, Woody.
Everybody try it.